This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, told Caleb, we're drafting you no matter what. And so really his only option was to try to do what Jack and John Elway did in 1983, and that's, you know, go after a city and make it, the situation untenable. Carl Williams was ready to do it if that's what his son wanted. But at the end of the day, Caleb didn't want to. And as he told me, I wasn't ready to nuke Chicago. And, you know, after he visited the Bears, he came back and said, you know, I can do it here. I want to be a Bear.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's the voice of Seth Wickersham. He's got a book coming out about Caleb Williams, and that was part of what he is writing about. Talked to his father, and Caleb wasn't enthused to go to Chicago, and they thought about trying to get out of it, but he's here, and he's the quarterback, and we are delighted to welcome in our Jim Miller. He was famously the Bears quarterback and nicknamed our Jim Miller by Jerry Angelo, and will always be our Jim Miller, and we welcome him to the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. Good to be with you again, man.
Yeah, always great to talk to you. And I got to tell you, I was really excited about the idea of just asking you a few questions about film study, because there were two parts to this story. The first is, to me, yesterday's news. It's, you know, the kid didn't want to come here. Well, I mean, that doesn't stop my world. I don't blame him for looking around and saying, you know, God, they got a guy in Minnesota that seems to be really good with quarterbacks. Wouldn't it be great to go there? Well, that, you know, you can't control that. So he's here, and you look at it, and you move on. The thing that really froze me about it all was that he didn't get any help watching tape. There was a complaint made, and I don't know if he said it or if his dad said it or how it came to be, but the idea that either he didn't ask for help or they didn't give him help and he was left on his own to look at tape. And it just made me wonder, like, how much of that is on him? How much of that is on them? How, like, just as a quarterback, I always just assume that quarterbacks watch tape for a living. That's the job.
Yeah, it's a part of the job, but you know, say the typical week, say you get done with a game, right? Game's on Sunday. Say it's a Sunday 1 o'clock game. You're going to go in the next morning, and you as an offense are going to watch the whole game. right? Everybody is graded. There's a plus. You get graded a plus or a minus. Either it was a grade that passed or a grade that failed on every single play. And then you'll do it as an offense. That way everybody knows who has failed, who has passed, who's doing their job, who's not doing their job. And then, of course, you break out into your position meetings. Then you'll go into the quarterback meeting room and you'll kind of go through and you'll watch that tape again. Okay. And hey, this we need to do better. This we failed at. And, you know, all those coaching points in order, because you're going to run similar plays as the year goes along. So you've got to correct your mistakes, right? And then typically during the week, when you're preparing for your opponent, every day there's an install. You've got your base offense, say on Wednesdays, you've got your blitz on blitz install, say on a Thursday, and then say goal line short yardage in 2 minute on a Friday. During those meetings, during the day before practice, you are watching tape on your opponent. So your base offense is what? First and second down. So you're going to watch first and second down play. Hey, here's the defenses that they run. So you're getting that tape study prior to the game. Now, you as a quarterback, you got to do extra. You know, you're going to go home or you're going to stay after practice and say on that Thursday when you do the blitz install, hey, third and five, third and medium, they run these blitzes. Third and short, they run these blitzes. Third and long, they run these blitzes. And you have a great understanding in those coaches' meeting rooms of what you're being exposed to, of what they're bringing. And then you should do a little bit extra. Right. You know, what if they do something that we're not prepared for? Maybe it's a corner blitz that they haven't shown before. You need to be aware of that as a quarterback, and that's where you got to kind of do some extra work. And now, whether he was getting that, I got to believe he was getting that during the week. Now, how much extra he did, I couldn't say for sure, but that's typically how it's gone, no matter where I've been.
Jim, based on the information we got last week from that article, based on the book that Seth Wickersham's writing about the quarterback position, did you hear anything that the Bears should be concerned about as it pertains to Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I talked to Ryan Poles at the combine. He said steps were missed with Caleb. Hmm. So, and I just read between the lines with what DJ Moore said in training camp, that basically they would run plays and they weren't completed, and it wasn't how should I say? A coach needs to be emphatic about what needs to be done. Maybe somebody does a job that's done half-assed, excuse my language, sure, and it needs to be done the correct way. And if the coach allows that to happen, you're kind of how do I say enabling that kind of behavior. And so, you know, when steps are missed, you know, I assume that means with film study or think corrections weren't made or certain things were acceptable that probably were not acceptable, and thus that's the result that you get, and why Shane Waldron was fired, whatever it was, week 9 or week 10, because it looked like crap out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to ignore the fact. I get it. I think that we talked about that Mike Vrabel, they're doing this, you know, Foxborough kind of forged in Foxborough little show, and on it he's talking about what his job is now and what he's got to do. And he says, I don't give a whoop about last year. And I'm sure Ben Johnson feels the same way. He knows what he's got to do and what needs to be done. And I'm sure he's not picking apart last year, Jim. But
yeah, he can't.
No.
He can't. You're right, Mike. Yeah. And here's the problem with any new coach. You can't assume, even when the Bears drafted Caleb Williams, they can't assume that Lincoln Riley taught him everything.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Lincoln Riley is going to have different offensive rules than what, say, Shane Waldron had. Okay, so Ben Johnson comes in there, and he's going to say, I don't care what Shane Waldron was teaching here last year. I know this is what I'm installing. This is what I need done in order for this offense to be executed properly. And so no steps can be missed, and you can't assume that Caleb understands what a cat blitz is, a corner blitz, or protections. So Ben Johnson is going to come in here and say, hey, this is our five-man protection. This is how I want 50 protection run. This is what you as a quarterback are responsible for. If they bring six, you're hot. Now, if you redeclare the mic, you know, because I've always explained, imagine for the listeners out there in Chicago, five-man protection. You've got five offensive linemen, five on five. It's numbers, right? It's numbers. So if a defense is in a four-man front, your linemen, your offensive linemen are responsible for those four-man front plus one more guy. Typically, that's going to be the Mike Backer. But let's say the Mike Backer doesn't come and the Sam Backer now comes. Well, redeclare the Mike. We're now going to make the Sam the Mike. Okay, so that's still five on five. So you got to know your protections. You've got to know numbers. And that's the same with five-man protection or six-man protection or seven-man protection. It's a numbers game. And clearly, when you're being sacked 68 times and you lead the league, which the Bears have led the league the last 5 years in sacks, guys don't know their protections. They don't know them. And if I were them, if I were Caleb, I'd know my protections. That way you're not getting sacked 68 times a year. Unless you like your manhood getting driven into the dirt every week, that's up to him. I didn't like doing that. I didn't like being in the training room. So I suggest Caleb Williams get on board, learn his protections so that he can execute his job properly, and it'll help out his offensive linemen as well.
So how much confidence do you have that Ben Johnson and the new coaching staff can get Caleb Williams to do what you just described, to take a step based on whether it's a new scheme or whether it's just a second season with increased comfort level? Where's your confidence level, Jim, that Caleb Williams can take the next step?
Well, he's kind of got no choice. If he wants to succeed in the National Football League and earn another contract, he's got to do his job. He's got to perform. He's got to know his reads. You know, think about DJ Moore, who can't be unprofessional and walk over to the bench and sit on the bench during a play. You want to know why he did that? Because the ball should have been out of Caleb's hands and in DJ Moore's all day long and twice on Sunday. So it tells me the quarterback doesn't know his reads. So he's got to do his job. He has to know his assignments. Otherwise, his teammates won't get frustrated like that and go sit on the bench, because DJ Moore's basically sending a message to everybody, I'm wasting my time out here. What am I doing this for? My quarterback can't throw the ball versus off coverage. He doesn't even know what an out route is in off coverage to hit his receiver. So Caleb Williams has a lot of work to do. He's very talented. He's capable of doing it. But Ben Johnson, there are no kid gloves here. I mean, he's got to be able to do this stuff. Every NFL quarterback has to be able to do these things. And so that's Ben Johnson's challenge. Those players haven't earned anything in Chicago. There has not been enough winning. So that's why Ben Johnson's there. So if you don't want to do it my way, I'll find somebody else who will. That's,
you know,
the way it is.
He came out, in fairness to Ben Johnson, and again, and hopefully this reflects with Caleb, he came out in his first news conference and said, he has to be able to see the game the way I see it. It's important for the quarterback and the play caller to see the game the same way. That means the two of us watching tape. That means us breaking down tape and going over. I would imagine, Jim, that that process has already started. And I would imagine that you know, and you know, as we all know, if you know, it's one thing to say you want to be great at something, but if you want to be great at it, you put in endless hours of that. And both the head coach and the quarterback need to be going through it together so they know exactly what each other is thinking as they look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And throughout my whole career, and I was with a lot of teams, every play caller ran our quarterback meetings. Meaning when I arrived in Pittsburgh, Ron Erhardt was our OC. Ron Erhardt had coached in Super Bowls. He was the OC, but he also was the quarterback coach. He was the play caller. And that's anywhere I've been, it's been like that. So Ben Johnson, if he's indeed calling plays, he should be running those quarterback meeting rooms, especially at this point in time, the second year of Caleb Williams, for that very reason that you just said, Mike. I wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth. How do you want this play executed? How do you want it done? What do you want me to check to if they run this blitz? How are we going to deal with this, coach, if this happens? And that's for the coach, who's the play caller, to lay that all out for the quarterback. And then when you call that play in that huddle, you've got your checklist. You're going up to the line of scrimmage. All right, If they're in this, I'm checking to this play. If they do this, I'm checking this play. It's called a checklist. And you just go through that checklist, and once you're done with that checklist, say, hey, man, I got the green light. Everything's the way I want it. Let's go. But you got to hear it from the horse's mouth so you know exactly how he wants it executed.
So what are your expectations for the Ben Johnson offense and Caleb Williams in his second season?
I think it's going to be better. I think, you know, I know a lot of people criticized John Shoup when I was there. John Shoup, he was very detailed. I felt very prepared every game that I went in terms of what was going to unfold and what was expected of me. And I think Ben, because he has used John as his mentor, and,
right,
and Sean was very detailed, and I felt very prepared. And I expect there will not be anything that is not covered by Ben Johnson for what Caleb needs to do. And there will be no excuses by Caleb when a play fails or when it works, of why it did and why it didn't, and what he has to do better the next time. And then if there are some gray areas, they'll work through those. And there always are gray areas, you know, but for the most part, you've got a base that you can work off of, and it'll expand. It'll get better and better. But, you know, I think Ben is approaching it the right way. There's no depth chart. Everybody's got to earn it for a good reason. You know, those guys haven't done a lot of winning. It's great to blame the next coach or whoever could be the next coach. But, you know, Ben Johnson's not responsible for the sins of the past. Whatever Shane Waldron didn't do, he's got to do his job in order to get his quarterback playing at an elite level, which he's capable of doing. And they've got to be on the same page. And I think Ben is approaching it the right way. Absolutely the right way.
I'm sure by the time you got to the NFL, you were a master at watching tape, understanding preparation, knowing what you needed to do. And then it kicks into another level. And as you mentioned, going to different places, I'm sure there, you know, you're watching other quarterbacks and how they learn and what they do. Is it possible? And I'm not like, I feel like we're being a little bit unfair to Williams because I don't know whether who said what or how it was said, but I saw Kurt Warner kind of implying on Twitter that, you know, hey, ask for help and they'll help you. You know, this is your responsibility. But is it possible if you are like some very gifted Heisman winning quarterback that you didn't feel you needed to watch tape or you didn't watch as much tape as you need to watch? Who was the best guy watching tape that you were around? And is it more of a general everybody?
Yeah, I was always around quarterbacks that watched a lot of tape, from Neil O'Donnell, you know, even when I left the Bears to and joined Tampa. Brad Johnson really was, that guy was a worker bee, man. That guy, and if you go look at Brad Johnson's record in the NFL, the guy's got like a 65% win percentage as a starting quarterback. He prepared himself accordingly. But at the end of the day, you're out there, you're responsible for 10 other guys. You know, so it's not just your position, it's every other position. I remember even when we drafted Anthony Thomas, you know, out of Michigan, and he had just a tremendous rookie year, and he didn't know the protections. He didn't. He was focused on, hey, when he was going to get handed the ball and he, you know, different defensive fronts. So I'd just turn around and I'd tell him, hey, man, we're in 62 protection. I go, it's a 4-3. I said, Anthony, you got the Will backer. If the Will backer does not come, check your wide route. He'd say, all right. You know, because he was still sorting it out. Tell the other guys what they got to do. Just tell them their job. Tell them what they have to do in order for you to have a positive play as an offense. Make their job easier. So you should not only know your assignment, you should know the 10 other guys' assignments. So like when Ahmad Merritt got in the game, hey, Ahmad, versus cover two, you're taking the middle. You know, you just give out subtle hints, you know, because you can tell when you're calling a play and maybe it's not registering and your teammates, you see their eyes flickering a little bit and they're a little bit gray. What's my assignment on this? Just tell them what they got to do, because in order for you to be a successful offense, you want to have positive plays. Like I said, you get graded on every play, positive or negative. That's how it is on every single play. And you want to have a positive play. You don't want to have negative plays. So there's no shame in telling the guy what to do. You're trying to succeed as an offense altogether, and you're trying to bring young guys along. You've got veterans there, and you're all in it together. And the coach understands that too. He's in it together. So you're kind of a coach on the field. You got to be able to do that as well. And that's hard on Caleb. He's a young quarterback, right? that all this is thrust on him. But, you know, that's part of it too. And he's going to grow. He's going to learn. He's going to get better. He's too talented not to. Too talented of a player not to. And there's a lot on his plate right now. And this is a big year for him. A very big year.
Hey, great stuff, Jim. Really, you help us understand that. That's excellent.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is our Jim Miller.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday fast?
Yeah.
Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Danny Parkins.
We've got Craig Council joining us.
What do you think of Breakfast Ball? 8 a.m. Eastern Time on Fox Sports with our boy Danny Parkins. Yeah, any review?
You know, Danny was great on the radio.
Co-host of Breakfast Ball on Fox Sports 1.
Caleb knew the history, studied the CBA, met Kevin O'Connell, but then they got him in the building and they convinced him about this city, this fan base, how the 85 Bears still eat and drink for free, that we've never had a 4,000 yard. You could be a hero. You could be Walter Payton, Ernie Banks, Michael Jordan, if you are what you think you are going to be. And for my money, the greatest city of the world.
He abandoned us.
What are we setting the over-under at for length of time for Matt Spiegel's national anthem?
Our boy loves the spotlight. You know what I mean? He loves the attention. Yeah. His name's going to be on the video board. There will be an introduction. His wife, his kids.
Are we counting all that?
Really, honey, it's not all about you. I can't wait to hear Jim Cornelison in a couple of days.
Danny Parkins with Spiegel and Holmes.
That is the story of the game. So I'm with my Slim Reaper friend over here.
On 670 The Score.
The Radiothon is coming up on July 31st, and Danny Parkins is going to do his marathon man thing yet again.
The marathon man thing. Oh, marathon man thing.
Yes.
I got it.
Yeah, because he's going to be on the air for 24 hours.
It really isn't. Is it safe?
No.
Is it safe?
Yeah, it's not a fun movie at all.
That one's not fun.
No.
It's good, though.
Danny joins us on the Circa Resort Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Hey, Danny, how are you?
What's up, boys? How are you guys doing?
We're good, man. I got to tell you, over the weekend, I was listening to the anthems that took place. John Vincent killed it on Saturday.
How long did he hold it?
I didn't time John, but
I'm going to guess 18 seconds.
The woman who did it on Friday was great. She was absolutely great. I should have her name handy, but I did time that one. She went 207. 207 on the anthem. So
hogging the spotlight, my God, that's something for you to aspire to. You could beat that. you don't even know that woman's name. You
had it on the sheet.
I know it's on the sheet. And Alex, can you go grab the sheet in the other room? Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a 207. Go ahead and set that.
Yeah. Soak up the moment. I mean, have a sense of why we're here.
Yeah.
Have a sense of why we're in the building.
So Danny, I thought of another prop since the last time you were on. And oh, by the way, did you hear that he got the day wrong?
I did. Yeah.
But you know how I heard that? And a follow up personal text from Speaks. Hey, just wanted to be sure you knew the actual day.
You know why?
13th, whatever
it's it was. Wednesday, the 18th of June, not Tuesday, the 17th. I didn't want you to have to pay for Marquee and down there in the palatial estate in New Jersey, lined up to watch your first Cubs game of the year and not actually.
Westchester County, please.
Oh, I'm like, I didn't realize that. Okay, well, that's a step, you know? But,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's expensive. I, you know, it's a good point. What is the daily rate for one Cubs game on Marquee?
Lauren Hall is her name. Lauren Hall was great doing the anthem on Friday. Congratulations to Lauren, who gave me something to aspire to. Did you take in much Cubs Sox over the weekend, Danny? It was great fun. The Cubs are good. The Sox are not. News breaking.
Yeah, you know, I had that before the season, actually.
Good choice.
My prediction, my predictive powers of baseball have not escaped me. Didn't see any of the full games. Pedro Armstrong, though, good player. You know, we would make fun of Dustin often, and it was deserved. But I remember, like, 3 years ago,
yes. He
said there was a topic on, like, who's going to be the best Chicago athlete in 2027 or whatever it was, like 5 years out from the date. And he said Pete Crow Armstrong before he had even played a game with the Cubs, and we roundly mocked him, and he might have been ahead of schedule.
Yeah, this morning, as part of the pick six, they were talking about that, and they put
Pete,
100%. They put Pete Crow Armstrong ahead of Caleb Williams right now, way ahead of Connor Bedard as the biggest star in town, and I don't know that they're wrong at this point.
Well, biggest star in town, they're definitely wrong. It's Caleb Williams. Right, Caleb Williams and Pete Crow Armstrong walk into Tau. There's one table left. Who gets the table? It's clearly Caleb Williams.
I don't know.
Yes.
Lawrence, what do you think?
I agree with Danny.
Stop.
Yeah.
I agree with Danny that it's still the Bears, and it's still the quarterback of the Bears.
It's true, but it's baseball season.
It is, but
why is PCA out? He should be grinding.
but I will say that PCA is definitely his star turn is happening. It's just that he's got a lot of ground to make up between a star on the Cubs and an NFL quarterback.
A star in town. Yeah, that's true. Look, the Bears bring the whole city together. Some Sox fans would be pissed and not give him a table. Depends who the maitre d' is. So that's
right. that's right. Who's the bouncer? You might have to pay the cover. Best player in town is different, right? Because Caleb hasn't proven that he's the best player yet. But biggest star, it's definitely Caleb. But, I mean, it's funny how narratives change, man. Like, I remember talking, like, does PCA have too much of an ego? Is he too brash? Do we like how he plays the game with flair and swag and what he's doing with his hair? And, man, is he just always going to be a liability offensively? And now it's like, can he win MVP of the league? You know, that wasn't that long ago that there were serious doubts about what PCA's ceiling was offensively. Everyone was like, he'll be a plus defender at a premium position. But I mean, we are less than 12 months removed from serious questions about his offensive game.
Danny, I think that we're 8 weeks removed from it.
We are.
Because
there was contract.
I didn't really know how it was opening day.
Yeah, I mean, there was contract extension talk. Like, they had offered him somewhere around 75, I think was the number, and he didn't take it, apparently,
yeah,
in the spring. It's low, but at the time, I mean, the host of one of the weekend baseball shows, I forget who it was, said that, you know, he hasn't proven it yet.
Well, there's,
I think
also,
it was Bruce.
The conversation that we've had on this show with one of the hosts of the weekend baseball shows here on The Score was advocating more bunting for PCA.
Well, he's not good at it, but I was saying that, yeah, he should. And you were like, swing the bat. Yeah, Danny, here's what's going on. Okay. Lawrence is a really good, thoughtful baseball fan, okay? And he is, I think he wants to host Hit and Run. I think he's gunning for that. So, like,
I feel like if I wanted to, though, I probably could.
Well, that's interesting. Well, do you want? that's interesting.
I don't think, no.
Take time off.
Yeah. He's like, you know those girls who, like they just wanted you to know that they wanted to know that you thought they were attractive, but they weren't going to sleep with you. These were all the girls in my high school circles.
No, I don't know anything about that. I never was once disappointed.
Yeah, no.
Female companion.
That tracks. Lawrence just wants to know that he could, wants me to know that he could host Hit and Run. He doesn't want to actually host it, though. Doesn't want to actually do it.
I mean, I have hosted Hit and Run in the past, right, so I know that I can host it.
All right, what are you doing Sunday?
No, I'm not doing that.
That's a different level of insecurity, though, Steaks, because you know that I could host it in terms of like the mechanics of teasing and the ins and outs.
Yes.
But I didn't want to host it. That's a big, I wanted every job in Chicago media except that one. That's the only job I wasn't interested in.
Yeah.
I had no interest in that.
What are some of the other jobs you wanted, Danny? What are some of the other jobs you wanted? What would you move back for? Which one? None of them, right?
Move back? Listen, local job that pays more than present job, I don't know that one's on the list. But like, I had the job that I liked the most. I'm just being honest. I saw that look you gave there, Steve. You forget you're on camera. Those are HD cameras fixated right on you.
Oh, yeah.
Staring right into your soul.
Oh, yeah, my
bad.
You're
not nearly as good of a poker player as you think you are.
My bad.
I can read you, my friend, in 4K from 1,500 miles away. But no, I mean, listen, I did what I wanted. And, you know, who knows, man? This industry is weird.
Life is long.
This industry is
industry's weird, and life is long.
Is
absolutely
weird, and yeah. Yes, all of those things. Danny, what's been the reaction on your show, Breakfast Ball, which people can watch on Fox Sports 1 every morning, to the story that Seth Wickersham had and the quotes from Caleb and Carl Williams about the dysfunction of the Bears?
Yeah, it was a huge topic for us when it came out. And, you know, they obviously kind of went to me first for the reaction. My thoughts were as follows. Like, one, Bears fans could relate to it. I think everybody kind of had a similar thought. Like, doubting if the Bears could develop a quarterback? One of us, right? Like, we got it. We were all Caleb in that moment. That was totally understood. Watching film alone, that struck us as ridiculous in terms of, I know what Kurt Warner and others have said, but Stink was like, you got to be sure that the guy can watch the film. And that's part of the value of having, you know, a Chase Daniel like figure in the room, Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes, what hopefully Case Keenum will be. That was what Stink's main point on that one was. The only thing, and I don't know how much criticism, if any, Caleb has gotten locally. The only thing that I said that was somewhat critical of Caleb was this. I don't get why he needed to be that honest. Like, I respect honesty, but I don't understand why when Seth Wickersham circles back around to him and follows up and does the fact-checking on the reporting, I get it. You wanted to pursue all of your options. You had questions for Chicago. You were impressed with Kevin O'Connell. All of that is totally fair. I don't know why he needs to give the quote after he clearly had already been a Bear. I wasn't prepared to nuke the city. That seemed unnecessarily harsh to me in terms of, like, you had your hand on the button and you were that close to going public and going nuclear and going negative on the town and the city and its history and the team and the org. That just felt like it was opening up more follow-up questions than were necessary when you easily could have said some version of, the past is the past. I was exploring all of my options. I had questions for them. They had questions for me. They answered those questions, and I'm thrilled to be a Bear. I don't feel like he needed to go that hard.
Interesting. I you know, two thoughts on that. One is that I bet Carl talked first, finally, you know, is the sense that I get, and then Caleb had to add in, but the
but
other thing,
but that was a Caleb quote.
It
right?
was, like it
that,
was
that was a Caleb quote on the record. That was not sourced. That was Caleb.
So all of this makes the Bears org look bad and makes Caleb look like a kid who had a lot of on his plate, a big burden to carry. Like I found myself, so he might not mind that. He might not mind speaking some truth when it. It lets you know what was being asked of him. It's an interesting dynamic. I mean, we watched him every week, Danny, and like saw him trying desperately to portray this professionalism, and it was a freaking mess behind him. So the opportunity to set that straight probably makes his rookie year look even better in that regard.
Yeah, and that was the final point. It was like, man, nearly a 3.5-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio while taking 68 sacks, having your play caller fired 9 games in, your coach fired after that, and you're watching film by yourself. This kid's going to be a star with a little bit of competence around him in terms of a support system. So, like, I don't think Caleb comes out of it looking bad. I just think that there was an element of it that was, like, I respect the honesty and I fully acknowledge the double standard of, like, we want these guys to be interesting and honest in themselves. And then when they are interesting and honest in themselves, we can crush you for that too. So I want to be clear. I'm not crushing him. I just think it'll be very interesting when he gets in front of those Bears beat reporters, presumably as soon as Wednesday, right? How is he going to handle that? Because I think there's a, like, how close were you to pressing the button and, in his words, not ours, nuking the city? Like, what would that have looked like? Was he doing Oppo research? Like, how was he going to go negative on the cold, on the stadium, on how fans turned on Justin Fields? Like, what was he prepared to do to Eli Manning his way out of Chicago? If I was advising Caleb now, I wouldn't answer any of that. Like, I would not give any more heat to that, right? I would be like, listen, that's the past. I wanted to be honest because a great journalist had done some good journalism around the pre-draft process, but I'm focused on year one with Ben Johnson and year two of the Bears and bringing a Super Bowl to Chicago. Like, I would not do a lot of past tense details if I was Caleb Williams when he meets the Bears media.
That's the beautiful part about this, Danny, is the idea that now how you can spin it forward is exactly the way that you're talking about. None of those issues exist for me anymore. I feel comfortable and confident in the relationship I'm building with Ben Johnson and his entire staff. And the fact that, you know, I talked with Ryan Poles after the season was over and look at where we are right now. Now we're ready to go. I think that's kind of where, if I'm Caleb, I would want to kind of steer everyone when they do ask him about this week.
Yeah, and I will be floored if that doesn't happen. This isn't me reporting anything, but we'll just say I know from someone very high up that, like, they all believe that the thing that would be best for everybody involved is when they can stop talking about the past and stop talking about last year, right? Like, they go out and hang 30 on Minnesota on Monday Night Football, and we don't need to talk about Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron anymore. You know, like it's the Ben Johnson era, but if this is turbulent and rocky and Jaden Daniels ascends and J.J. McCarthy with Kevin O'Connell is great right away, we will have, I think, fair conversations of wasted rookie year, stunting progress, stunted development, falling behind his peers. Like, I'm not expecting it to be smooth sailing 100% of the time with Ben Johnson, but it would behoove all of them to get off to a pretty fast start offensively so none of us have to talk about Shane Waldron anymore.
So the other thing that came out of this was the debate as to whether Ryan Poles deserves another chance being reignited. Because when you think about the horrific nest in terms of quarterback friendliness and quarterback teaching – that he provided. For me, I think I was at like 58%. Yes, Ryan Poles deserves another shot. And then after all these revelations, I'm down to like 53%. But I still think he does. Where are you?
Well, there's no point in going a different direction now. You know what I mean? Seriously, you and I disagreed on firing Eberflus before the Caleb draft.
Yeah.
I was like, you should hit the reset button now. You should not waste a rookie year. There's no way you can convince me that the best coach for Caleb Williams is the defensive coordinator of the Colts. I couldn't believe it, and I wanted him fired before that draft, even if it was unfair and even if it was too early.
You were right.
Because I was afraid of exactly this, right? I was afraid of exactly this. Firing the coach, changing the staff, changing the language, stunting the development, all of it. Now that we're here, I think we all can agree. I should not assume that, but I would say Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, this roster is as good as we've felt about the short and long-term prospects of the Bears since they were in the NFC Championship game, right? Like even better than post 12 win Matt Nagy 2019. Like there was buzz, there was hype, but we were really like hope trafficking on Mitch. We hadn't really seen a lot from Mitch to believe it. We were mostly hope trafficking there. Like for me, it would be 15 years. So I believe that that core group, even if they got here partly by luck, it's not worth blowing it up because I do truly believe in where they are in this moment.
Danny, the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon is coming up July 31st. What's the latest? Who else has been added to the guest list of people that are going to be a part of this momentous occasion?
Well, so yeah, thank you. July 31st, again, Instagram, Twitter DMs open. You guys know how to get in touch with me if you're a company, if you're a patient, if you're a high net worth individual who wants to sponsor an hour. You know, we're still looking for dollar for dollar donations to turn people's $5 donation into 10, 25 into 50 and all of that. And we want your story. So if you're a Score listener and you know someone who should be honored, but you know, last time I saw you guys in studio, that was before I went to the Malnati Brain Tumor Institute gala that night that I was emceeing, which is the terrific brain tumor institute and foundation where my brother Brad got his treatment. And it was an amazing, powerful night. It was an honor to be, you know, the keynote speaker and MC. We raised $790,000 that night. It was an amazing event. And I just got to meet so many people, you know, most of the doctors I already knew through my work with Brain Up and through Brad, but just the patients that were in the room, some of their stories who are going to be able to be profiled during the radiothon. Like, you don't know their names. They're not public figures, but just people who are just, you know, taking these terrible diagnoses and putting it to good use, whether it's for fundraising or research or just awareness or, you know, just being brave in the face of just interminable odds. So it was such an inspiring night, and I met some people there that are going to be their patient stories are going to be highlighted during the radiothon. So it's, you know, we still are a couple of months out, so we're still, you know, we're early on the details, but we're highly motivated. I had a call earlier today with a patient, have one tomorrow with a company. So, you know, trying to put it all together piece by piece. It's a huge undertaking, but it's a passion project, and I appreciate you guys letting me talk about it. July 31st, 10 a.m. to August 1st, 10 a.m., 24 hours, 100% goes to cancer research, raised over $560,000 last year, and we'll try to do it again this year.
Excellent. Yeah, we love that you're still part of the station and get to do that. And, you know, between now and then, if you want to just like kind of work out those host chops, there's a Sunday morning slot that might be a good spot. Got to battle Lawrence for it, though.
No, you don't, Danny. You don't have to battle me. If you would like to, feel free, because I'll be just having brunch in Hyde Park while it's going. And you know what? Why don't you join me for brunch in Hyde Park, and we'll let him handle the show.
That sounds like a much, much better deal. Spiegs, what's Tanny's line? I got to go see a man about some videotapes.
Yeah, I got to go return some videotapes.
Yeah. You don't really see a man about videotapes.
You really don't. Not anymore. Yeah. You can just buy those online or a lot of different stores.
Yeah, I wasn't in Goodwill Hunting, Danny. That's all right.
That's right.
Got to go see a man about a girl. Yeah, it's close, though.
Yeah, I was, you know.
Yeah.
Got to stick to landing. Have a good show. Have a good show, Sunday Speaks. I'll try not to text you during it, like I have a couple of times. You're like, I'm on the air. Like, on the weekend?
Yeah,
you're
right.
On the air on the weekend?
I know. It's a true story. Danny, look, I'll get back to you, but I do this little Sunday show that you never listen to and you still don't. Exactly.
My streak is remarkably intact.
It's on fire.
Kyle Ripken's record will never be broken. I'm coming for it.
All right.
I'm coming for it.
Danny, thank you. Be well.
See you, boys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let it be known, Frank said he would be gracious and listen with all of us to Sarah Spain's FaceTime right now, and that's what we will, Sarah. It's all yours.
Wow, what a surprise. I love that we're getting to do this. I love that we're getting to take on a taboo topic with Sarah Spain. Oh, that's right. There's been many of them. It's Rahimi Harris and Grody on The Score. We are talking about mostly Sarah's book, Runs in the Family, an incredible true story of football, fatherhood, and belonging. Sarah Spain and Dylan McCullough wrote it. Dylan McCullough wrote it together. It's an incredible story.
Pre-order now. And there's an audiobook, too, if you don't like reading.
Ah, there. Did you narrate it? Did you have to do the audiobook?
How long did that take?
It only took me 3 days. They scheduled 5 and they were like, man, this is a pro. I'm like, I talk for a living. And I wrote it. That was the best part. They were like, you can tell when someone comes in to read their memoir and they don't know what the words mean. And you're like, you didn't write this.
Oh, wow. But you actually wrote it.
So I didn't write it. So I knew the words.
Pacing, everything was golden.
To read their memoir and they haven't. Oh, that's painful.
Yeah. That is kind of painful.
Ghostwriters, man.
Those people... Somebody's making money then. But that's not the point. The point is you did it. So where's the audiobook available for people who want to get it?
So if my very smart husband, Brad, shout out to him, created just tinyurl.com/RITF book, Runs in the Family book. That's the easiest link to share. But I mean, if you search Runs in the Family, Sarah Spain, it'll pop up and you can order, you know, Audible and all those places.
Fantastic. And we also talked WNBA with Sarah because the season began on Saturday. So that's exciting, too. So now we have to do the other part of this. I don't know anybody who works in our space or consumes it that hasn't been affected by Around the Horn. And I'm not sure why ESPN is letting go of that show and why they decided to end it after an incredible 20 plus year run. But you were a huge part of that show. What has it meant to you? Because I feel like a lot of people nationally know you from that program.
Yeah. So much. I mean, I watched that show when I just started out in sports, trying to figure out, am I going to like make it in this business? And I was watching Jackie McMullen and Woody Page and Bob Ryan and everybody. So the very first day I was on, it was in New York. They had me go out there and do it in person in like a closet near where Tony was hosting so that he could walk me through the beats before we started. And so I left and went to a bar and sat to have lunch and looked up and I was on the TV in one of the little boxes and the bartender was like, that's you. I'm like, that's me. because it wasn't just being on ESPN on TV. I had done that, but it was to be on this show that I'd been watching forever and ever. And the way I used to feel about the people in those boxes and what it meant to be someone who people wanted to hear your expertise on all the biggest news of the day, to be one of those people was huge. And then, like, everybody says it, but they really create a family there. It is not competitive. It's not mean. It's not trying to, it's a scored debate in the sense that, like, you get points for what you say, but Tony really wants to, like, hold people accountable in a fun and playful way. If you make a terrible, you know, prediction, he calls you out and gives you minus 500 points and you laugh about it. On other shows, you're like, oh, I guess I should quit and just not be in the business because I suck at this. And instead, it's this playful. And I actually like the accountability too, because I'm not a fan of the debate shows where someone has zero perspective and is losing their mind over something and then a week later has a completely opposite opinion. It's just not fun for me. I like to actually keep tabs on, like, how do you feel about something and do you genuinely feel that way? Because a week later you shouldn't completely flip your opinion about it and scream about the opposite. And so this show was never about that. It was about nuance and fun. And Tony would always pick up what I was putting down. On the last show I just did last week, my finale show, they're welcoming back a bunch of us. He asked me to, you know, sum up my life, and instead I did a monologue from Austin Powers, and he immediately knew that's what it was. I was like, the details of my life are quite inconsequential. And he always knew, and that was, we had this, like, incredibly playful banter. So it meant a lot. And then also, Layla, I'm sure you get this, but what, like, when I started ESPN 1000, people asked who wrote my updates for me. And I was like, I mean, I do, because that's the whole job. And then when I went on Levitard and wrote that rap, people in the comments were like, I bet her husband wrote that. I'm like, he's not even in sports. I'm on the show. Why would I need someone else to write about the show I'm on?
The constant disrespect.
It's just constant. And so on that show.
Oh, yeah. We can't be capable of independent thought.
No. And on that show, you can tell that it's.
How'd you get your job?
Well, that was, yeah, that. I've slept with every player that ever lived, so I guess congrats to all of them.
Sounds like a lot of time-consuming effort.
It is, but also, thank God I'm so good in bed, because I keep getting promoted, right? If I was trash, I probably wouldn't be here still.
If only there was a way to profit off of that. Oh, wait, there is.
Oh, wait. Farts in a jar.
Only. Get it?
But on that show, it's so extemporaneous and immediate. There's so many callbacks and flips, and you have to be so quick and spit out that you can tell it's not scripted. And so for me to be able to hold my own in that space, it helped prove to people, oh, this is who she really is. She's sarcastic and funny and quick and knows her stuff. And it was just the best show.
We assume the NFL season is also not scripted, although they have those playful commercials suggesting otherwise. I want to get your thoughts
on... The Bears are really this bad.
They are. They have been, and maybe
trying.
They won't be.
They're trying.
So I want to know what you think about really what's happened just the last few days, obviously with the Caleb Williams dropping and Carl Williams and those thoughts. But where do you see this team, and are you good with it?
I have to say, I'm glad that there were hints of that before, because it softens the blow. If this came out of nowhere, I think it would have hurt real bad. But we already heard rumors about it, and we wondered. And we also, if we're being honest, can't blame anyone for being worried about coming here. How many times do we see the same story play out? And I am optimistic, because what is the point of being a fan and showing up every single year with the worst possible predictions, right? Like, you could be honest, you can be real about it, but I'm still going to be optimistic. We got the right coach this time. We didn't go hunting in the CFL for no damn reason for someone who's going to be selfish and undisciplined. Oops, I misspoke. We got the right coach. I feel good about the quarterback. I really liked how he looked on his first reads, and then when the pressure started, that's when it fell apart. So I want to see that line, that new look line, do something for him. He's got the weapons, but we need an offense to use the weapons. So there are things I saw last year that I felt really optimistic about, and things that I hope get fixed. I think it's hilarious how we want to make anything in sports a distraction, except for actual distractions, like having multiple head coaches and offensive coordinators. Like, we don't give them nearly enough credit for all of that, but we're like, if someone were to say they were gay, the whole locker room would explode. But, you know, 8 different coaches and all these different. So I'm optimistic, but they have beaten me down a little, guys. You know what? I want to tell you this. Every single year, I'm like, I'm optimistic. I'm going to say like 10 wins. Like, every year I'd be like, 10 wins.
I did last
always.
Year.
I've been saying that. And rest in peace, my friend Jeff Dickerson would always be like, Sarah, why you're always doing this? And I'm like, I don't know. I feel got something about this year. And he'd be like 7 wins or 6 wins. I'm like, why are you so negative? He's like, I'm realistic. And then they'd have like 3 wins. And so they have beaten me down. Can we just be above 500?
No, 7-10.
I got them at 9-8.
7-10.
Exactly over 500. Yeah.
The problem is the division is tough.
And I'm just taking the hardline stance of, if you're in the fourth year of a new front office, then you should have 10 wins if you've got the first overall pick. Based on the face value alone,
And you've got, as you mentioned, Sarah, Ben Johnson. They finally got the guy. They didn't have to go to Plan B for once in their lives. They've been doing Plan B forever. The last Plan A that I could think of was Dave Wanstead after Mike Ditka. So Plan A is here. Any better word?
They definitely paid Plan A prices.
They did. They did. By the way, Dave Wanstead, his daughter was on my basketball team in high school, and I used to love it whenever opposing team fans would come up for an autograph, he would be sure to write Go Scouts, which was our mascot.
Nice.
That is fantastic. Yeah. We love Wani. He's the best. And now he's like one of us, which is also surreal. It was wonderful to have you in studio, Sarah. Thank you so much. One more
time.
Do
I work here now? It feels like it's been a while.
It's official. Yeah.
Everybody's welcome.
Come through anytime.
We in this space always like it when people hang out. You're welcome to hang out with us anytime.
100%.
I love it. Thanks for having me.
I feel like we've become the hangout show.
That's awesome. That's a good reputation to have.
We're very approachable people. That's what
come
we are.
Chill in studio.
Like a late night diner, but in the middle of the daytime.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like all day menu. Yeah.
Perfect.
After the club, but really before the club.
Or yes, we are both.
Or perhaps you are the club.
Post-game show. Yes. We can be all things
in the club,
to all people.
We all friends.
Exactly. And like, I feel bad for the kids who don't know about the greatness of the club. The book, one more time, in case you missed it, runs in the family, an incredible true story of football, fatherhood, and belonging, and of course, the Good Game podcast. Sarah Spain, this has been great. Thank you so much.
Thanks Sarah. Guys. Thank you. Super fun.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf. Maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield. Adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown. 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
NFL Network analyst.
Do you have a doomsday folder in case someone wanted to interview you to be a head coach?
I do not have a folder.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
When you looked at record, you may have said the Chiefs were the best team all year long. Just one loss when Patrick Mahomes was starting, or the Lions were the best football team all year long. But you're right. After those first few games of the year, nobody was more dominant across the board than the Super Bowl champs, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Kurt Warner.
I don't enjoy bad football.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Well, this is a nice treat for us. Joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is Kurt Warner. You can download the Circa app today. We haven't had a chance to talk with Kurt since before the Super Bowl. It was after the Bears had hired Ben Johnson, but before the Super Bowl. So there is a lot of ground to cover with the Hall of Famer, and he joins us now here on The Score. Hey, Kurt, how are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We are good, man. Thanks for the time. Caleb Williams has returned to being a national talking point. It happens every every couple of months. It's and we knew this kind of emblem of the athletic quarterback being asked and expected to become a pocket passer on command. Great conversations with you all of last season. And then we get this image and this story from last week of Caleb Williams alone watching film and seemingly learning to develop alone. It was striking to us. But you, how should it work? How should it work for a rookie in terms of watching film, learning to watch film, who you watch it with, all that kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, you know, I've been vocal about this. I mean, obviously, I think there's plenty of blame and accountability to go around for everybody involved. But when I was in the league, and a lot of people have, you know, made the contention, well, you know, you weren't a number one pick or number one overall pick or first round pick, so it was different. But when I was in the league, I never had a coach sit down and walk me through kind of the process of watching film, you know, as you know, we would use that term, quarterbacks watching film. I never had anybody kind of walk me through, oh, this is how I've done it, or this is a checklist, or this is a roadmap, a starting point. I never had that from a coach. Now, we watch film with the coach, so a lot of times, whether it's watching the game back and kind of talking through the scenarios, watching practice every single day, you know, sometimes even at the start of the week, you know, we pop on the tape of you know, the opponent and, you know, and watch some tape. But that's not the primary job of these coaches as they're building the game plan and, you know, coaching, you know, throughout things and getting ready, you know, because once we get into the week, you know, it's first and second down, then it's third down, then it's red zone and preparing all this other stuff. So there's not, you know, like outside time, meaning, you know, outside of the structure of what the day is, for me anyways, it was always on my own. And that doesn't mean, you know, just solo. There might be other quarterbacks in the room, or I might be watching film with my receivers, but it wasn't coach driven. It was player driven. And, you know, the majority of my watching tape was alone, was by myself, whether it was at home at night or early in the morning. If I would go in before practice and I would watch tape on my own, you know, and to me, it really is different for all of us. Like, you might, you know, ask me and you might ask Peyton and you might ask Tom, you know, how did you watch film? And we may all give you a different process by which we watch film. Like, I never watched a complete game of my opponents. Like, I didn't go turn on, you know, the game last week of my opponent and watch from start to finish. I didn't do that. I watched situational football. I watched based on, you know, what formations we were going to be in and how teams like to adjust to it. You know, what their third down tendencies were, or, you know, blitz packages to try to get some tells, or I might even watch based on coverage. I want to see all of their cover three looks so I can get a sense of maybe how they start and how they adjust to it and all of that stuff. And so it was different for all of us. The amount of tape that we all watched, how we watched it was different, but I just never had a coach walk me through that process. It was a lot by osmosis. It was a lot by asking or sitting in the room with other quarterbacks, you know, veteran quarterbacks that it might be around you and go, okay, what are we watching? How are we watching? You know, what are you looking for? And asking those questions more than it was a coach kind of taking me in and laying it out for me.
So, Kurt, I've been a proponent of the quarterback room needing a veteran in it. And I'm glad that the Bears have brought in Case Keenum. How valuable is the makeup of the quarterback room? And is that something that had there been a veteran QB in there that maybe might not have happened?
I mean, it's possible. But I'll say I was around a number of number one overall picks. And, you know, very seldom did those guys, like, ask me questions, like just kind of sit in the room and dive in, like, what are we looking at here? They might sit in the room with me. They obviously might listen, or I might, you know, project different things to them of what I'm seeing, but very seldom did they ask me, you know, dive into to different questions. You know, even to this day, I connect with a lot of young quarterbacks and give them my number and say, I'm here. Like, call me. If I can give you perspective on anything at all, so let's just use this as an example. If you know, Caleb were to call me and go, okay, take me through how you watch film. Okay, no problem. And then he could call Tom Brady and he could call somebody else and go, okay, what do you do? Because we all have to develop our own preparation process. But oftentimes we pull it from different things or we try different things based on what different people tell us. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to those young quarterbacks being willing to ask the question, being willing to say, okay, I don't really know this. I haven't really had to do this. Take me through what you do on a weekly basis. Give me your process and show it to me, as opposed to just kind of sitting back and going, okay, let me see what I can gain from this. Because I always say, you know, we don't know what we don't know. And a lot of times we can go into a situation, even a young quarterback, going, okay, I've been really good in college and I've watched tape and it seems to work for me. So I'm going to do the same thing in the NFL that I did in college football. And I'm assuming that works. And then you go and you realize, oh my gosh, this isn't working. I'm not seeing it. I don't really know what I'm. And now you've got to go and search out what you don't know. But you got to know that first. You got to understand that you're not doing it right, or you don't have it all, or you need to grow in these areas. And you have to be willing to ask. And I think the same holds true for coaches. Is I think there is an assumption with a lot of guys coming into the league that they already know certain things, right? And so my goal is going to be to coach them here and help them to run our offense and get the best game plan in place, and not necessarily to take them through the process of coaching, of watching film. But that, there's no question that a coach should be willing to ask those questions too. And even if there's a number one overall pick, to say, hey, Caleb, do you know how to watch film? And, you know, and that's an interesting dynamic, right? Because you're asking your number one pick, do you know how to watch film? And that could be embarrassing for him. And you just asking him like, oh, really? I'm a number one overall pick. You don't think I watch film, or you don't know how? And vice versa, for Caleb to be able to go, no, I don't. Like, that's a hard dynamic and an interaction to have, because you don't want to offend your number one overall pick, and you don't want to be the number one overall pick that says, I don't really know this. Can you explain it to me? Because maybe that raises red flags to people. So I just think there are a lot of dynamics here, and you got to ask the question. And, you know, you got to be, you can't be afraid to be embarrassed or to embarrass somebody, because you got to figure out the right answers, and then you can move forward. And it just seemed like in this situation, neither side was really doing that to the level that they needed to, so they could both put their best foot forward.
Well, that is a great bit of humanity that you've just brought to the image of how these relationships need to work. And having lived here for every day of this process as hosts and watching it and reading it and dissecting it, it seemed like there was a lot of doubt whether Shane Waldron was up to the task as a communicator. And, you know, to kind of navigate that relationship. And there weren't a lot of people around who were quarterbacks and thought like quarterbacks to help navigate that relationship. So we have a lot of empathy for Caleb in this dynamic that you're talking about. We appreciate the balance you're bringing to it. But I got to say, it feels like the responsibility for making that work is on the adults in the room. It's on the coaches in the room and the executives in the room to make sure they've got people in place who can facilitate that as a parent would, frankly.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense, but I would like to think that, you know, if you're 21, 22, 23, and you're stepping into the NFL, that you're an adult too. And, you know, you're willing to say, you know, and ask for help in areas that you're not getting help. Like, I can't believe, you know, if Caleb were to go into a coach and say, hey, coach, I need help watching film. Kind of take me through a process. Like, this is what I'm watching. I'm not sure if it's the right thing. Take me through that. I can't believe the coach would say, "Ah, yeah, I don't have time for that." And then just go, you're going to have to do it on your own. Like, that just seems really odd. Now, if that happens, that is, you know, I mean, that's terrible for a coaching staff if you're going to do something like that. So I don't know the answer to that question. I just have to believe that they assumed he was good. And so they went and did the normal stuff that they do. and then that never got figured out. But I mean, it makes sense, of course. Like, it makes sense to check every box and have everything laid out and, you know, go through every question you may have. But a lot of it, I kind of assume you already figured out during the process. Like, if, you know, if I was, you know, going to draft somebody number one overall, I'm putting them up on a board. I'm talking to them. I'm getting a sense that they understand the game of football and they understand what they're looking at. And so I think part of that, when you decide to draft somebody number one overall, is you've probably seen enough to say, man, this guy knows what he's talking about. Like, this guy knows football. And so you kind of assume, because he knows all this and he had great success in college, well, he must know how to watch film. Like, he must be doing it and it's working for him and he's really smart. So why do we think that we have to take him through that? Because we're kind of just assuming that's the case. And so that makes 100% sense to me as well. And I think that's what a lot of coaches do, is they feel so comfortable with a guy that they're like, oh gosh, this guy knows, this guy's good, you know, and if he needs something, he'll ask us, but we're comfortable with where he's at. And then the other piece, we talked about it a lot, you know, throughout the year, the idea of the pure progression type offense that they were running, which is a whole nother piece to it, because you guys know, and again, to those that may be listening for the first time, pure progression. They give you a play. Number one is always number one. Number two is always number two. Number three, number four, number five are always number three, number four, number five. And so another dynamic to it is, do I really need to know what a defense is doing ahead of time? Like, do I really need to study a bunch of tape to know, oh, I'm still going to look at this guy first, and if he's open, I'm going to throw it to him, and then I'm going to go to number two, and I'm going to throw it to him, and then number three. Like, how much tape study is important when you're giving them the play, and that play and the progression and everything stays the same no matter what you see? And I think, and again, this is, I don't have, you know, definitive knowledge on this, but I believe, because high school football does a lot of pure progression, college football does a lot of pure progression, the NFL's starting to lean in that direction, that some of these quarterbacks are not learning how to watch film and understand how to prepare at those lower levels to the same degree that maybe someone like me that did more of a, you know, full field defender read type stuff, where I needed to know, oh, it's cover two, my read starts to the left. It's cover three, my read starts to the right. And so I needed to see this stuff in film. I needed to know this stuff and have an idea of what I was looking at, because it led me to where I was going to go playing the game. The more we have this pure progression stuff, I think the less these guys are really having to dive in and figure out the nuances of tape, because it doesn't really matter at the end of the day if you're saying, whatever coverage it is, we're going to read it this way. You know, we're going to do the same thing. Your footwork's going to be the same way. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of the pure progression. We talked about it a lot. I think it hurts quarterbacks. It slows them down. It affects them, you know, in terms of being able to see a coverage and then moving on to the next guy. But I think that's an interesting element that nobody's really talked about, that kind of fascinates me, because there's a lot of that pure progression in college and a lot of these guys are playing in that. Now all of a sudden they're thrown into the NFL with some more different looks, and they've got to be able to decipher that when they've never really been asked to decipher that nearly as much at those lower levels that, you know, that I did and I think some of these other quarterbacks did.
Kurt, the Bears also drafted Colston Loveland, and he's a tight end that I think has a lot of wide receiver in him. And I know you're one of your former teams, the Arizona Cardinals, with Trey McBride. I love watching him go after it out there in the desert. How can an athletic tight end change the way a defense plays?
Well, I mean, I continue to believe that the biggest mismatch in football is a really good athletic tight end against really whoever's covered him, but specifically against linebacker-type players. Because those linebacker-type players have to read their keys, they have to stop the run, they have to be in the right, you know, run fit, and they've got to be able to run and cover down the field. So I believe that is the biggest mismatch in football when you have one of those guys. So that's kind of where it starts. Then you're building an offensive line. You've got a Ben Johnson that loves to play action, right? Giving those linebackers that have to cover an athletic tight end just some sort of run fake, you know, some sort of visual that says we're going to run the football to make them hesitate while having this athletic guy gives them an advantage right there. And then it's often personnel driven, right? If we can put Cole Kmet and Loveland on the field at the same time, that's going to force more of a big package, a linebacker driven package by a defense. Now we can split, you know, one guy out and he can have some of those wide receiver elements, and you can put a defense in a bind. You can put him in space. You have to force maybe a cornerback to cover him. So now you can put DJ Moore in the slot, and now he's covered by a linebacker. So there's so many different elements because of that mismatch that can play out in terms of the scheme that you run, can play out in terms of, you know, the personnel that you run, or even the formations that you want to get into to get favorable matchups for the different guys in different ways.
Kurt, I got to go back to the Caleb thing and push back respectfully just from this standpoint. I feel like we saw that Matt Eberflus and the other coaches were not very good at the kind of direct communication, the kind of positive confrontation, the kind of forced accountability that you need to have. And maybe you need to have it more now because players do come in confident and they do come in cocky. And, you know, but like we saw them basically call out from week three on, we'd like to be coached harder and more directly, which was an insane dynamic to sit through. I feel like the Bears failed Caleb in this opportunity. And I wondered if you see it that way, the you know, or if you see it more as Caleb's responsibility to step up. And I agree that it's both. But if it had to be one or the other, I think the Bears failed Caleb more than he failed them in year one.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it really depends on what we're talking about. I mean, obviously the coaching staff was let go because they didn't do a good enough job in numerous different areas. And so, and it wasn't just when Caleb was there, it was before Caleb was there. And so, yeah, I think it's easy to say it's got to start there. It's got to start with the coaching staff and putting your guys in the right position and laying it out in a certain way to be able to be helpful to them, especially young quarterbacks. Is that sure? I mean, I will always, you know, put it on the organization to go, okay, yeah, it's got to start with you guys of making sure that you're doing this the right way and you're giving the players the opportunity to be successful. And so I have absolutely no problem with them being held accountable for that. I'm just one of those that believes, but everybody is accountable. If you're not getting what you need, and again, maybe, because you said they were coming out and asking, yeah, maybe Caleb did go and ask, hey, I need this. I need help in this area. We need to adjust this. I need more time with you guys to learn this. And they didn't do it, obviously fully on the coaches. If there was times where Caleb wasn't getting what he needed and was just hoping that they would give it to him and didn't go and search for it or ask for it, then I think he has to be held accountable as any other player would be held accountable. So I don't know all of the dynamics. I just know that if I'm in a situation where I don't feel like I'm getting what I want, and I'm the one that has the ball in my hands and is going to be exposed, I'm going to find those answers. Even if it's not in the quarterback room, in the building, maybe it's outside the building.
He called Lincoln Riley. Kurt, he called Lincoln Riley at one point for exactly that, we think. You know?
There you go. So if he called Lincoln, or he would have, I mean, it's Caleb Williams, for goodness sakes. He could find the number of any player and any quarterback and any veteran quarterback that he wanted and said, hey, I'm not getting this inside the building. Let me go get it from Tom Brady. I mean, I read something the other day that Tom's become a bit of a mentor to him. Like, if that's the case, then Caleb should never be wanting for any kind of information that can help him on the field. If I can call Tom Brady and Tom Brady's going to pick up and answer my questions, I'm going to at least have a blueprint and a roadmap to how to, you know, watch film, or, you know, how to eat, or how to, you know, go through my weekly routine, because I have access to that. And so that's all I'm saying is that I'm not saying it's more on Caleb and more. I don't know the dynamic. I think they're all accountable. I think, you know, again, you have to ask the questions. Like, coach might have assumed. Don't assume. Don't assume. Even if you're going to embarrass your number one overall pick, get in there and ask him questions. Make sure he knows how to prepare. And if you got to hold his hand a little bit more, do that. If you're Caleb and you need some answers to questions, find those answers. Go up and ask. Continue to knock on the door. You know, continue to go in. Can I watch film with you guys as you're game planning so I can see what you're basing this off of and what I need? Like, again, I just, you know, it's just the highest level. And I think there's always an assumption of what people know. And I think that's the case in any job that you get. You kind of come in and you're at a certain level and people just kind of go, oh, I assume he knows that, that, and that. And so now let's just hit the ground running. And that person might not know that. So they've got to figure out, how do I get those answers? I don't think that assumption is just crazy. But at the same time, if you're going to assume that as a coach, you should be held responsible. If you just assumed and never asked and never knew the answer to that question, you should be held accountable if you have players that don't understand it and don't get it and don't have the information they need. You should be held 100% accountable for that as well.
Okay, so look, I don't want anyone to get in trouble for tampering. So if we run into Caleb, can we tell him that he can call you instead of calling Tom Brady?
Anytime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hey, Jed, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Oh, we're having fun. You know, it's been a really fun season. It's been great to watch your team and how good the offense has been. And, you know, we sit here and go over it and, you know, enjoy all the results. The weekend was great. And, you know, last night was rough. So you look at that. And the question I guess we should start with is, who's the closer tonight? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, I think that's probably what happens so often at bullpens. I feel like we had gotten into a pretty good groove, sort of like Palencia and Keller and Hodge and the backs, the two lefties have been throwing really well. And I feel like that formula has been working well for us. And obviously Porter, you know, went down with an oblique injury. We're hopeful it's not too serious, but, you know, certainly we can't play shorthanded, you know, back there. And so now we have to figure that out again. So I think that's just the nature of how it's going to be. We're going to have guys step up. We're going to candidly need some more innings out of our starters. We, you know, last night we were asking for 4 1/3 scoreless out of our bullpen, and, you know, we almost got there, but not quite. But we're going to need to have these guys get into the sixth, maybe in the seventh, you know, in order to rest these guys a little bit. Otherwise they just get overtaxed. But, you know, I think, you know, Brad Keller's been throwing the ball well. Really, Daniel has been almost flawless until until last night. So, you know, we've had guys throwing the ball well. We just need more guys to step up, and hopefully Porter's not injured for too long.
Him going on the injured list, Jed, obviously not a good move or not good news. Ryan Pressly being ineffective has certainly been something that wasn't necessarily expected. Daniel Plensy's been good. You mentioned Keller, Julian Merriweather. We could go through the list, but I do wonder, how does your approach change, if it does, based on the ineffectiveness or the injury, about needing to seek outside help, outside the organization? And when does that start in earnest?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no question that the bullpen is going to be aided by outside help, whether that's big transactions or small. You know, I think there's no question we're going to continue to add guys. And, Pomerantz is a example. You know, we added him from Seattle, just like we did with Tyson Miller a year ago. And you just got to keep churning through relievers. I think as far as, larger transactions, that doesn't really start probably until, mid to late June at the earliest. This is the nature of it. And I think when you look around baseball now, there's a lot of teams that are in the, that believe they're in the race, that feel like they have a chance. That's one area that baseball is a little different right now than it has been in other years, where, the sellers are less obvious. And so I do think that thinking about big external transactions, that's really at least a month away, if not more. And so I think we got to focus on smaller transactions, and we got to focus on getting our guys healthy and having our own guys be effective.
I'm curious, do you know what you will be looking for in a month? In other words, we see that you've brought back Matt Shaw. He's up. He had a couple hits. There's been some changes to the way that he does hit. The leg kick was it wasn't going to his waist as he was batting yesterday. Are you waiting to see if he answers the third base issue before you get to the trade deadline, or are you confident that you can solve that and that's not one of the things you'll be looking for?
Yeah. Well, certainly that's why we brought him back up. He was, making good adjustments in Iowa. Obviously you referenced having the leg kick be a little bit more controlled. And, the hope certainly going into the season was that he would be able to handle that job. And that's the hope now. Last year, PCA got sent down, almost got sent down multiple times. If you think about his struggles in the first half, and then he played great in the second half. So it's hard to break into the big leagues now. And obviously, Matt had his struggles. And, the hope is that he starts to get acclimated and figure it out. Because certainly, I think our best lineup would be with him at third base. And as far as at the deadline, I certainly, the pitching side is probably more obvious area to add than the position playing side. Obviously injuries and things will happen, and that could change, but I think that'd be fairly obvious to look at and say right now, our position playing group has been really good, really consistent. I think our at-bats from top to bottom have been excellent. So I think that's really been the strength of our team so far, and hopefully it continues.
Talking with the Cubs team president, Jed Hoyer. Jed, brought to you by Lurie's Children's Hospital, ranked the number one children's hospital in Illinois by the U.S. News & World Report, located at 225 East Chicago Avenue in downtown Chicago. All right, Jed, you've been here long enough to have been part of the conversation and the evolution of the leadoff position. Back when Kyle Schwarber was tried there, and the pros and cons of that, and what was the ideal leadoff spot at that point in Major League Baseball. Here we are, PCA has emerged in Ian Happ's absence as a guy who might be a viable option at the top of the order. He's hit everything. WAR says he's the best player in the National League right now. How does that conversation go as Ian Happ gets ready to come back, rejoin an offense that is clicking on all cylinders, and yet you have a PCA, a guy who has a weekend, and I know that yesterday wasn't his best day, but you could make the argument that he's your ideal leadoff hitter.
I think he can definitely do that job for sure. I think we have a couple really good options. I think Ian did a great job in that spot. He sees so many pitches. He gets on base. I think when you have him and Tucker, hitting 1-2, there's just so much traffic on the bases for the other guys. I think it really helps. And then with Pete, Pete's a different style of hitter. It's just he's dangerous right away. The way he's hitting power, and obviously, if he gets on base, he creates havoc. So I think we have two really good options, and unclear how we'll go going forward. My guess is that Ian will will start leading off again, and Pete will probably not go quite as far down in the order. But you know, obviously, Craig and I will talk about that. But I think that the position has evolved. I mean, you think about, honestly, how much criticism we got for trying, Kyle Schwarber in that role. I remember in Boston, we got a lot of criticism for putting Kevin Youkilis in that role, and people thought that was kind of crazy. And I do think that now, Shohei Ohtani, is leading off, and it's not a surprise to anyone that you would put a huge power hitter in. This is a guy that's dangerous at the top of the lineup. And Schwarber's not doing it this year, but he did it in the past with Philly. So, certainly I think to myself, if you're a pitcher, starting off a game and, you're worried about your first pitch of the game getting hit for a homer, I mean, it's unsettling. And so I do think that that's getting your best hitters the most at-bats and also having some fear in the opposing pitcher right away, I think there's real value in that.
Speaking of value, it seems like the catcher position is doing as well as any out there, certainly any in the major leagues. And Amaya, again, yesterday has a good game, and Carson Kelly. I mean, the way that you've resolved that issue has been pretty extraordinary. Is it the development of Amaya? What is the bigger story in your mind, or Carson Kelly kind of hitting anything that moves?
Yeah, the first half of last year, like when we struggled offensively, a big part of that struggle was that, Yan Gomes was struggling and Amaya was struggling. So we were getting, no offensive production out of that spot. The second half, when we played better last year, Miguel Amaya played really well, and he's really, really continued that. And obviously Carson has been fantastic. And I really do believe that they make each other better. I'm a big believer that, that's a hard physical position. And I think if you can roughly split that job and keep both guys sort of rested, I think it really makes both guys better. I think when you start, you watch catchers wear down with the heat or wear down playing 3-4 days in a row. With health, hopefully those guys can not have to do that. And therefore they're both, a little bit fresher. But yeah, I think both guys make each other better. It's been a really good, position for us. Obviously those guys have both been outstanding, and hopefully we can keep that up. And I would say, I don't think that's that much different than, when we talk about the bullpen is, when starters are going deep in the game and the relievers are rested, they often look better. And I think that that's part of our job is to have enough depth to not wear guys down. And that's no different in the bullpen than it is a catcher.
Based on his first two appearances, how much are you counting on Cade Horton to contribute to the major league team this season?
Well, right now he needs to contribute. I mean, obviously with Steele's out for the year and Shota's down, Saad's down. So, we need those contributions. I think he was at a point where he was ready, we felt like, obviously there's always things you can work on in the minors and like little improvements, but we'd had those conversations even before the injury to Shota where like, hey, if we need a start, there's no reason Cade isn't the guy at this point. So he's ready. He's going to continue to improve in the big leagues, but yeah, we need his contributions right now. I think he's showed real poise in his first two starts. I don't think those are easy outings going, in New York, against a really good offense. And then obviously, crosstown, series Friday afternoon game. So he's pitched in two, really great environments. And I think he's handled himself really well. And I think he'll continue to get better.
It's funny. It's not funny. You got to be aware of his innings, right? You got to be aware. Now, these are conversations that people need to have much later in the season. But you look at a lot of different guys and you're kind of, where's the back of the baseball card? And it isn't impacting how they're pitching right now, but it's just something that you will be aware of as you inch ever closer to the end of the season.
For sure. Yeah, I think, that's, kind of baseball in this era that, you're not going to have 3-4 guys going 180 to 200 innings and sort of making your life easy that way. Right. Like you're going to have to, go 10-12 deep in your starting rotation in order to get through it. Guys are going to need breaks. They're not going to be able to cover 180 to 200 innings. And so that is a challenge. It's just a different puzzle to put together than it was, not that long ago when you felt like you could get these big blocks of innings and your bullpen was rested because you're getting seven innings out of your starter. So yeah, that's a totally valid concern. I think that, you know, a lot of these guys are throwing really well, but we do have to be aware that there may be a time in the season where they need a break, or there may be a time in the season where they decline a little bit. And, you know, hopefully we can get, you know, Assad back for the second half, get Shota back here. And then obviously, like, you know, like we said earlier, I think that, you know, the external market will be something we have to look at.
One of the most fun stories in Chicago and throughout Major League Baseball this season has been the emergence of Pete Crow Armstrong as a star and a guy who is so much fun to watch. Earlier this season, there were reports that you guys approached him about a contract extension that didn't go anywhere. Jed, I just wonder, in light of what's happened in terms of his emergence, are those talks ongoing? Are those things you want to revisit, or is that something that's tabled until the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, so as far as the report, yeah, we did approach Pete. I mean, I think we think the world of him, and he's just a, you know, there's so many things to like about the way, not only the way he plays the game, but how he is as a teammate and how he interacts as a young player. And so, you know, we'd love to sign him long term. Obviously, those conversations in season are delicate, and it's, you know, something that, you know, I'm sure at some point we will revisit. But right now we're just, you know, letting him focus on the season, and if there are any conversations, I think we'll just kind of keep those in house. You know, frankly, having that get out when it did, it wasn't ideal. You know, we got through it, but we like to keep those things in house. But yeah, he's been remarkable. I mean, just such a great start to the season. And you brought up the leadoff, you know, position, but just in general, the idea of this, like, right now, I mean, he's beating you in so many different ways. His defense is just incredible. You know, obviously he can beat you with power right now. If he hits a single, he can beat you with his legs on the bases. He just, you know, in a lot of ways, I say this, like, you know, when Javi was sort of at his sort of prime in like 2018 or so, there's a lot of ways he can help you win a game on a given night. It might be with his glove. It might be with, you know, great base running. It might be with power. But he does a lot of things on the field that you can't teach, a lot of things that don't even show up in the box score. And, yeah, this is a lot of ways he can help you win games, and he's done that a lot this year.
You know, I mean, as long as we're talking about reports that were out there, there's a report that Ryan Pressly was kind of guaranteed the fact that he'd be the closer, and that's what coaxed him to come here. And he had a no-trade clause, and he agreed to come here in part because he – wanted to be the closer. Now, I know his knee was drained not that long ago. Where are you with him, and how is he doing, and has his role shifted because of the knee issue?
No, I mean, I think his role has shifted with performance. I think that the way Porter was throwing and Keller and Palencia, and you know, obviously he had a hiccup, and, you know, so, I mean, I thought he threw the ball really well last night. He's been good last couple of times out, but, you know, I think, you know, sort of having him out of the ninth inning for a bit and working on stuff, it's just, that role is really hard if you're whether struggling with an injury or struggling with command or the use of a pitch. You know, the game's on the line when you're in the game, and right. So I think taking him out of the pressure of the ninth and letting him work on some things made sense. And, you know, listen, we he's been, like I said, last couple of times out, he's been good. And my hope is that he can just continue to improve and miss a few more bats as he does that. And I think that'll help us contribute, whether it's closing or whether it's seventh, eighth inning. He can be a big part of our group back there.
How big is tonight's start for Jameson Taillon, given the home run balls that he surrendered in his last two starts?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, JMO's, he's had some really good starts this year, but obviously, yeah, he's certainly been bitten by home runs, and you know the ability to keep the ball in the ballpark is important, and length isn't really important for us right now. You know, I think we've had some short starts here, and as those have happened, it's just accumulated wear and tear on the bullpen. So my hope is they can give us some really good innings tonight, and we can go out and swing the bats.
Jed, who's been the bigger positive story or the bigger surprise to you? Matthew Boyd or Colin Ray? Did you expect the contributions both guys have made?
Yeah, I mean, both guys are have been fantastic, and really, this just kind of pros. I mean, they just go out there and, you know, they're prepared. They have multiple weapons to get guys out, so you feel like it's not, there's a lot of tricks, a lot of ways they can they can do it. It feels like if, you know, they've run into a little trouble early, they don't falter. So yeah, it's been really, both guys have been excellent for us. And I mean, we talked about this when Steele, you know, got hurt, that like, that's just, you know, you're bummed out about it for a day, but you have to just move on and you have to have kind of the next guy up. And I mean, I can't imagine anyone doing a better job of that than Colin has done for us. You know, he stepped up incredibly well. And you know, what Cade has done, you know, stepping in for Shota has been great too. So yeah, there's no real, and not time for being sad about it. You got to have guys step up. And so far those guys have done a great job of that.
Pretty emotional week for Moises Ballesteros, who had two hits last night, got his first major league hit last week. A lot of emotion. I think he brought it to the plate sometimes, Jed. He looked like he was maybe a little over anxious, but boy, can he hit, and he's making contact. When Ian Happ comes back, could that be as early as tonight? And will Moises Ballesteros be going back to Iowa?
Yeah, Ian's going to be active tonight, and Moises is going to go back. But I think, you know, obviously a little bit over anxious at times. You said it well. You know, I think it's natural given his age and first time in the big leagues, home stadium, you know, home crowd. But I will say he can really hit. I mean, it's a fun bat. He's got power. He's got, you know, he makes contact. Really pretty swing. And he's a guy that's going to have a lot of success in the big leagues. And I think in a way, that's sort of a perfect way to you know, get his feet wet. He knew it was going to be a short stay. You know, with Ian, we knew he wasn't a long stay in the IL. We just couldn't play shorthanded for that long. And we wanted to be, you know, exercise caution. So he knew it was a short stay. And I think that sometimes that's kind of a nice thing, right? Where even if he, you know, had the greatest 3 or 4 days of his life, he was going to go back to the minors. So it lets him relax and enjoy it and soak it in. And hopefully next time he comes up, he's, you know, that experience really benefits him.
Great stuff, Jed. Thank you a ton. Great catching up with you. It's been really fun to watch you guys this year.
Thanks, Jed.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care. See ya.
That is Jed Hoyer. There's the man, Cubs president.
Fun stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.